Okay, go ahead and get started. So, on Friday, we were getting into Chapter 8, beginning to talk about solving transfer functions of the converter and using that as motivation for some review of Bode plots, refresher, hopefully things you've already seen before. So, in Chapter 7, we developed the techniques to be able to take our switching converter and generate this average small signal AC linearized model of it. And then from this model, we can solve different transfer functions. Things we'll be particularly interested in are controlled output transfer functions. That's the one that's going to be part of our feedback loop that we use to stabilize and design our controller for this system. And then we also might be interested in things like how the input affects the output, how changes in the load affect the output, different transfer functions of the converter. As an example, just to motivate, we went through and did the controlled output transfer function of the buck boost converter. Now that it's a linear system, we can apply superposition, and we did so twice. First, to eliminate all other independent sources, saying if I'm concerned with the controlled output transfer function, I only need to look at variations in the control. I don't need to worry about simultaneous variations in input voltage or load. And then second, because we have these three different sources that depend on the control input, we can apply superposition to them to make solving a little easier. Turns out one of them gets shorted out, apply superposition to the other two, do some algebraic manipulation, and we eventually end up with the transfer function here that I manipulated into a standard form. And we'll go over what is the standard form and why is it useful to manipulate into that today. Okay. So to figure out how we take that equation and generate a Bode plot like this, and furthermore, what do all these salient features of this Bode plot mean? What's the significance of this? We were diving into our review of Bode plots. So we motivated just with solving a very simple circuit. RC, we're wondering what the output voltage is across the capacitor from an input voltage that is this biasing source. So we solved this, and then we went through, we'll only do this once, but actually just directly solve the magnitude of this transfer function by taking the complex numbers and finding the magnitude of them. And then we ended here. We're at the top right. I have the expression we got to for what is the magnitude of this transfer function as a function of frequency. The magnitude will vary with frequency. And we wanted to figure out how to plot this, assuming we don't remember anything from your previous exposure to Bode plot. Right? So the way I'm going to do this is that I'm going to break the magnitude up into three sections and then approximate it based on those three kind of ranges of frequency. So first, when the frequency is much less than the corner frequency omega naught, second, when it's equal to it, and third, when it's much greater than it. So I'm going to plot here, got my magnitude axes and my frequency axes. Again, I'm using this log scale axis down here. And I've put F naught, which is my corner frequency of this RC circuit. So I want to know for these three ranges, what does the magnitude look like? So I'll just start with the first one. So first, when my frequency is much less than omega naught, when I look at this expression in the top right for magnitude, if omega is much less than omega naught, then this thing that gets squared here is going to be much smaller than 1. When it gets squared, it's going to get even smaller. So my 1 plus that really just looks about like 1, and I'm going to end up with the square root of 1 over 1. This range, omega over omega naught squared is much less than 1. So this whole thing looks like magnitude of G21 is equal to the square root of 1 over 1. And that's equal to 1 or 0 dB. So for frequencies much less than my corner, my magnitude looks about like 0 dB. So if I plot that here, 0 dB is this line. And I'm going to use that up to some point much less than my corner frequency. So I'm going to put arbitrarily right there. We'll look at the exact plot in a moment to gain some clarity on what is much less than. Okay. And so this is one. So second, I want to look at, I'm going to skip to omega is much greater than omega naught. So if omega much greater than omega naught, then omega over omega naught, that fraction is going to be much greater than one. So I can say one plus omega over omega naught squared, where the second term is much greater than the first one, approximately equal to omega over omega naught squared. Adding the one doesn't matter because this thing is much greater than it. So that's going to then give me my magnitude equal to, so now this thing much bigger, so it takes over the whole denominator. In the denominator, I can flip it up, and then the square and the square root are going to cancel out, and I'll get omega over omega naught. And if I want to put this into dB, I'll get 20 log omega naught over omega. Minus said that wrong a moment ago. If I flip it up from the denominator. Okay, as I plot that, what does it look like? Using our log identities, this looks like 20 log omega naught minus 20 log omega. Okay. Minus 20 log omega plotted. On Friday, it's just going to look like a constant minus 20 dB per decade drop-off. Then this thing is just some constant that's going to shift that up or down. So all I need to know is vertically, where do I draw this thing? The easiest way to get a handle on it is to say, well, if omega is equal to omega naught, this whole thing is equal to zero. So at omega equal omega naught, my F naught point here, I'm going to be equal to 0 dB. And then over the rest of the range, it's going to look like a minus 20 dB per decade drop off. And that's valid somewhere out here. So my number one was valid back here. This one's valid kind of out there for omega much greater than omega naught, F much greater than F naught. Okay. Then my last kind of point I'm approximating, I forgot to draw it in here. So here it looks like My last one is when omega is equal to omega naught. So there I plug in omega equal omega naught, then the omega over omega naught squared term becomes one, and I get magnitude of G21 is 20 log the square root of 1/2, which is approximately minus 3 dB. Okay. That's going to tell me I am somewhere here. 3 dB down. Get in the way. Okay. Now, what's my overall Bode plot going to look like? Back here, approximately 0 dB. Up here, following this asymptote. And then in the middle, I'm just going to sketch some curve that crosses through this minus 3 dB point. Okay, just connecting them up. So that's my plot. Only question is, how wide are these axes? What's much greater than, what's much less than? For that, just look at a more exact plot here. So at double my corner frequency, I'm about 1 dB off from my asymptote on either side, half and double. So maybe 1 dB is negligible. The much greater than is greater than twice. Much less than is less than half. Okay. Keep in mind we're on log axes. So a short distance is actually a fairly sizable quantitative difference. Here, you know, one tick is doubling my frequency. Okay. Same thing on the vertical axis. We're in log scale. Okay. So there's my exact response. Essentially, I have a high frequency asymptote, a low frequency asymptote. Right at the corner frequency, I'm 3 dB down. Combining those things, I can sketch a fairly accurate approximation to the curve. Okay. Bode plots, we have, in addition to magnitude, we have phase. We're going to look at the phase of this. Here, I'm just going to give a couple of identities and working with phase and establish some notation. And then rather than go through and do a bunch of arctangents to solve the exact phase, we're just going to jump to the approximations that we use in the course. Okay. So this guy here, the phase operator, meant to be an angle, the curve showing that I'm talking about that angle. That I'll use from time to time. So the phase of some arbitrary g of j omega, defined as, drew this last time, but it's the arctangent, the imaginary component, g of j omega, over the real component, g of j omega. Okay. And a couple of useful properties or identities of the phase operator. The phase of some constant k times my transfer function. So that constant scales both the real and imaginary parts equally. So it's just going to be equal to the phase of the original signal. I don't care if I multiply by some real scalar. Multiply the whole thing by 2, the phase isn't going to be changed. Okay. Second one, the phase of the product of 2 signals. Equal to the sum of their individual phases. And we'll show that in a moment when we talk about multiplying transfer functions. Okay. So if we go through and do this and take our single pole, calculate the real and imaginary parts as the frequency changes, what we get is something like this flat curve, which starts at 0 degrees, back when the transfer function was constant valued. When we get into frequencies much greater than the corner, drops down to minus 90. And then right at the corner frequency, it's equal to minus 45 degrees. Those are important things. Minus 90 degrees, 0 degrees, minus 45 degrees. This curve is a bit of a mess. One way to approximate it, it's shown here, is by right at this minus 45 degree point, creating a line that is tangent to the linearization of the actual curve, and using that straight line as an approximation. That results in a line here which goes from F naught over 4.81 to 4.81 F naught, which is e to the pi over 2, e to the minus pi over 2. This is perhaps a bit hard to remember. And not necessarily so important that we're exactly equal in slope at that point. So an approximation that we'll use that's much easier to remember is going from a decade below to a decade above. The phase rolls off with a slope of minus 45 degrees per decade. Okay. This means that we'll have error in a certain form. The real phase will be a little bit higher here, a little bit lower here, but generally this will be a good enough straight line approximation of the phase. Okay. So our phase asymptote that we'll use to plot this is from a decade below the corner to a decade above. We roll off with minus 45 degrees per decade, which will put us 0 at low frequency, exactly minus 45 at the corner, and then we stop at minus 90. Okay, just putting these two things together for our real pole, which looks something like this. We have in the denominator 1 plus s over omega naught being that corner frequency. Magnitude of this goes to f naught, then rolls off at minus 20 dB per decade. 3 dB down right at the corner, and then our phase asymptotes roll off at 45 degrees per decade from decade below to a decade above. Okay, so important things: 3 dB, corner, 0, minus 20, decade below, decade above, minus 45, 0, minus 90. I don't particularly care if you remember that it's 5.7 degrees down, or that it's a factor of 2 above or below, it's 1 dB down. But recall these things about it. Okay, so that's our real pole. And then from there, we're going to look at the other types of kind of first order polynomial expressions that might show up in a transfer function once it's factored. That includes the real zero, which is the same 1 plus s over omega naught, but in the numerator instead of the denominator. Now, basically all the same approximations apply. The difference is that the magnitude, instead of dropping off, it's going to rise at plus 20 dB per decade. Still, we're going to have a breakpoint at the corner frequency, still 3 dB above, 3 dB kind of on the interior side of the corner. And then the phase is also going to invert. So it's going to go from 0 now up to plus 90, instead of dropping 0 to minus 90. Still does so from a decade below to a decade above, still 45 degrees at the corner. Okay. Right half plane zero shows up when we have instead of plus a minus. This is going to result in is a magnitude that looks the same Is the left half plane zero? For the phase, that looks like a pole. So the magnitude increases like a zero, but the phase drops like a pole. Okay. Right half plane, RHP. Also called a non-minimum phase. Zero. Okay. These are going to show up in our power converter transfer functions. They are a pain. They make things hard to stabilize because they are increasing the gain while rolling off the phase, which means that our response is going to be lagging behind, but it's going to have more gain. And eventually, if we allow that to go too far, we're going to get out of phase with enough gain to destabilize the system. Okay. You may have seen before, you can have right half plane poles, but the only time a right half plane pole shows up is when you're unstable. So we're never going to have them. We're awesome power electronics engineer. We're going to design everything to be stable. I don't care about right half plane poles. Okay. These next two you may have seen before, may not have. They're just different ways of expressing a combination of zero and pole, but they're useful for quickly writing a transfer function or from a plot or quickly plotting from a transfer function. So inverted pole looks like the expression for a pole, except for this term here. For a regular pole, it was S over omega naught. For an inverted pole, omega naught over S. So I can multiply this whole thing top and bottom by S over omega naught, and what I get is S over omega naught over S over omega naught plus 1. So it looks like a combination of a zero at DC and a regular pole. So why is it useful to express it in this way? One thing that's nice about it is this expression on the right where I have a zero and a pole, I've got this 1 over omega naught gain multiplied in there. Okay. This thing, my DC gain or my kind of value up top is 1, which is 0 dB, which is this thing here. What I've done is I've pulled out the high frequency gain out in front of the expression. Whereas in this expression, I've got this 1 over omega naught multiplying the whole thing that doesn't really have graphical significance. You can see that 1 over omega naught and say, okay, why is the gain multiplied by 1 over omega naught? Perhaps a way to draw that out more clearly, let's say, I didn't know this was 0 dB, it's just a infinity, because it's the high frequency gain out to infinite frequency. So if my gain is that, if I write it in this form using an inverted pole, I can look at this and I can write G of S is equal to A infinity over 1 plus omega naught over S, and I'm done. If I use regular zero on pole, I can look at this and I say, okay, G of S is equal to, well, I've got some zero at DC and some pole at omega naught, but this thing doesn't have the right high frequency gain, so I need to solve for some gain out here, A sub x, figure out what that is, say, okay, the high frequency gain is A infinity. As I go to high frequency, I'm going to let S as J omega go to infinity. It's going to trump this one. I'll get omega naught. So AX times omega naught is equal to A infinity. So AX is equal to A infinity over omega naught. Just forces me to take this extra step of then, okay, what is this gain? Solving it out and then have an expression that doesn't have as much physical significance. Whereas this one, using the inverted pole, I pull out that salient feature, that high frequency gain, and it's directly in my expression for this transfer function. Okay. All right. Inverted zero, same idea. Could now be written as a combination of a DC pole and a zero. I write it as a DC pole and a zero. I have to solve for what is the gain of this whole thing. If I instead write it as an inverted zero, this is going to have, this is A infinity. This expression will be just be A infinity times this. I can again multiply by S over omega naught. This will become S over naught plus 1 times omega naught over S, which is my DC pole, and then my 0. And I get this omega naught multiplier for the whole thing. So no different. These inverted pole, inverted zero, really just another way of expressing a combination of a pole and zero. They're quite useful when I have, for example, at low frequency, some characteristic that's not flat. Then the gain out in front of my circuit, if I'm just adding, multiplying poles and zeros, is going to be some expression having to do with the higher frequency gain. Okay. Basically, with any of these real zero, real pole, the thing out front is my DC gain, and then I start stacking on poles and zeros. But when I have a transfer function that at DC has some slope to it, minus 20 dB per decade, then that thing out front then becomes some expression I have to solve. With the inverted poles and zeros, I'm kind of working backwards. The thing out front in my expression is the high frequency gain. And then I work back. We'll do an example. Okay. So if I have some more complex system with multiple poles, multiple zeros, potentially inverted, non-inverted, all multiplied together, I want to know how I can parse that and be able to work with it. So when I multiply two different transfer functions, what's going to happen to them? So, excuse me, if I have example G1 of S is A1 e to the S times theta 1, so I'm expressing these in polar coordinates, which is going to make my life a little bit easier in figuring out what happens when these multiply together rather than Cartesian where I'd have to do a bunch of algebra on complex numbers. So if I multiply these two transfer functions together, G1 of S times G2 of S, it's going to be equal to the product of these two things. Do this product, it's going to look like A1, A2, e to the S times theta 1 plus theta 2. So theta 1 and theta 2 are my respective phases. My phases add, and my magnitudes multiply. So this one, we said back when we were doing phase identities, you multiply two transfer functions together, the phases of them will add. Okay. My magnitudes multiply one another, so the magnitude of the overall thing is A1 times A2. But when I go to plot this, I'm going to plot it in dB. So if I want to know magnitude of G1 times G2 in dB. That's 20 log this thing. Which is going to be equal to 20 log the absolute value of A1 plus 20 log the value of A2 plus 20 log value to e to the s times theta 1 plus theta 2. Using my identity for logarithms where things multiplied, the logs of them add. So this thing is a magnitude equal to 1, equal to 0 dB, pure phase. E to some complex number of magnitudes, always one, just the phase is changing. These two things have zero phase and are just my magnitude component. So now the overall magnitude is the dB magnitude of A2 plus the dB magnitude of A1 plus 0 dB. So my magnitude add log domain so this is going to make things nice and easy. I start multiplying different pole and zero combinations together. I go to create a Bode plot of them. The phases are just going to add and the magnitudes are just going to add because I'm plotting on a log scale and the log of the magnitude just adds up. Questions on any of that? Okay. Let's do a couple examples and then we'll get into complex poles. Okay. So first example, we've got this transfer function, got some gain G0 and then two poles. I want to plot the magnitude and phase on these axes down here. The way I'm going to do that is I'm going to leverage what we just showed, that I'm here multiplying three things together. G0, which is just some constant gain, with this first pole, 1 over 1 plus s over omega 1, and the second pole. I'm multiplying two poles and a gain together. So if I can sketch the magnitude and phase of each of those three things, and I can just add them up on the plot to get the overall magnitude and phase. So going one by one, first the easy one, G0, that is 40, which is 32 dB, and it's just a constant, so it's going to have zero phase, and it's going to be constant with respect to frequency. So that's going to look like this on my magnitude axis, and then zero phase. And I'll sketch this first pole, which occurs at 100 hertz. Each of these poles is going to look like the real pole that we sketch. It's going to be 0 dB. And have a breakpoint and drop off at minus 20 dB per decade. You can have a phase that from a decade below to a decade above goes from 0 degrees to minus 90 degrees. Okay. So for the first one, pole at omega 1, if I go to F1 is 100 hertz. So my magnitude is going to start at 0 dB. Going to do that up to its corner at 100 hertz, and then it's going to drop off at minus 20 dB per decade. Let out here. That's my magnitude. right at 100 hertz, should be 3 dB down. Pot's going to get a bit busy, so I'm going to not sketch that. Okay. So my phase for it then, I'm going to start at 0 degrees. Going to go up to a decade below my corner. The corner is 100 hertz, so a decade below is 10 hertz. Right at my corner, it's going to be minus 45 degrees. A decade above 1 kilohertz, it's going to be minus 90. My phase is going to do this, and then shut off at minus 90. This is minus 45 degrees per decade. And the last one, the second pole, the pole is at 2 kilohertz. It's going to look just like the pole we drew, shifted over so that its corner is around 2 kilohertz. So the gain is going to be flat until 2 kilohertz is here. After that, it's going to drop off at minus 20 dB per decade. And my phase, again, is going to be 0 up to a decade below, which is 200 hertz. Right here, it's going to be 45 degrees. And then at 20 kilohertz, be minus 90. My phase should look like that. That's the magnitude and phase of all three of these things individually. If I want to plot the overall transfer function, then I just sum them up. Okay. So for magnitude, top green line, and then these top two, red and blue. For phase, these three things here. So as I do that, magnitude at low frequency, I'm going to have 32 dB plus 0 dB plus 0 dB. It'll be 32, and that's going to continue up to when my first pole starts decreasing. At this point, my G naught stays constant. My blue line stays constant, but my red starts falling off at 20 dB per decade. So the sum of them is going to be shifted up, but it's going to start falling off at 20 dB per decade. And it's going to do that until the corner of the second one. Once this blue starts rolling off at 20 dB per decade, red is still rolling off at 20 dB per decade, so my overall signal is going to roll off at 40 dB per decade. So here, you get a little steeper, off at minus 40 dB per decade. So that's my magnitude. For my phase, I'm going to get nothing happening from the green one. My constant is just adding in 0 degrees. I really just need to worry about this red and blue phase. At low frequency, they're both 0. A decade below the corner of the first pole, I'm going to start rolling off at 45 degrees per decade. Until I hit 200 hertz, at which point now both of my poles are rolling off at 45 degrees per decade. So I'll summon them up and drop it 90 degrees per decade. That's going to continue till here, which point my red becomes flat, but I still have 45 degrees per decade from blue. Let's continue on to here. This is minus 90 degrees per decade. This is minus 45 degrees per decade. And flat. Ending down here at minus 180 degrees, because I get minus 90 degrees from each pole. Sum up, I end at minus 180. Okay. No problem. Easy enough. Okay, good. Here is that sketch better. Computer, easier to have dashed lines. So dashed lines are the individual components, solid lines, as I sum everything up. All right, second example, just working the other direction. Now I have my Bode plot, and I want to write a transfer function for it. And we'll do this two different ways, one that uses inverted poles and zeros, and the other that uses just normal, non-inverted. Okay. So in order to do this, we have to identify what's going on in this plot. So this here, different color, here my magnitude goes from flat to plus 20 dB per decade, so I know that's a zero. So look down at the phase and see whether the phase increases or decreases, know whether it's left half plane or right half plane. Fortunately, the phase is increasing, so I know that this is a normal left half plane zero. So look down here, and this is a left half plane zero. Here, I go from plus 20 dB per decade to flat, seeing something that adds minus 20 dB per decade into it. So the pole phase is decreasing, so it is a pole left half plane. So I wanted to write a transfer function for this. G of S is equal to, just using our normal expressions, that's going to be the DC gain, A naught, times my pole, or work left to right, times my zero, 1 plus S over omega 1, my pole, 1 plus S over omega 2. Okay. No problem. So what is A infinity? Gain up here at high frequency. Well, from this expression, if I want to solve that, again, I have to take this step. Okay. As I go up to very high frequency, S becomes very large, trumps the ones. What I'll get is omega 2 over omega 1 times A naught, which, fine, that's something you can do, you can solve. But maybe this high frequency gain is really important to me, and I want to draw it out and sketch this transfer function, or write this transfer function with that directly out front. So the way I'm going to do that is by using, instead of pole and zero, I'm going to go to inverted pole, inverted zero. And then I can kind of use the opposite process. So here, using regular pole and zero, start from low frequency and just work left to right. See a zero, I multiply into zero. See a pole, I multiply into pole. So I want to use inverted poles and zeros. I start from the right and work my way to the left using the inverted forms of each. So now my G of S is going to be A infinity. If I work left, what I see is an inverted pole. A pole, but I'm going from 20 dB per decade to flat. So that's going to give me this sort of an expression, 1 plus corner frequency over S in the denominator. I'm going to get then, as I continue working back, I see now an inverted zero. It's going to give me a 1 plus omega 1 over S. So now if I want to know the high frequency gain, as S gets very large, this whole thing on the right cancels out and it's A infinity. Right. If I want to know the low frequency gain, now I have to do this again. I'm going to get some multiplying factor omega 1 over omega 2 times A infinity. Right. So on this one, perhaps 6 of 1, half a dozen of another. Depends on really your preference, how you want to sketch this thing. Do one more example where it's perhaps a little more clear why this could be useful. And that's if I have something like my only DC gain is somewhere here in some midband, then at low frequency and high frequency, I have some minus 20 dB per decade. Bode plot that looks something like this. Okay. Now, contrast to the previous slide, I don't really have the option of pulling a DC gain out front or a high frequency gain out front, because at both DC and at high frequency, I don't have constant gain. Only area where I have constant gain is somewhere in the middle between F1 and F2. So a nice simple way to write this transfer function is going to be, I'm going to start in the middle, put my midband gain out front, and then as I work to the right, I see a pole. As I work to the left, I see an inverted zero. As I go to the right, I see 1 plus S over omega 2. As I work to the left, I see 1 plus omega 1 over S. Regular pole, inverted 0. That was nice and easy. Okay. If I wanted to stay away from this inverted stuff, say G of S is equal to, what are my characteristics? If I start working from the left, I've got some pole at DC, sloping and down at minus 20 dB per decade. I've got a 1 over S, and then I have a 0 at F1 and a pole. At F2, the problem is this needs to be multiplied by some gain out front. This expression would give me kind of the shape, but I need to figure out what I multiply it by so that it's at the right height. And again, in order to do that, I'm going to have to say, okay, let me plug in some frequencies, figure out what the magnitude is, know what the magnitude is from this plot, then solve to make them equal. What is AX? So that becomes a bit of a pain to find. Easiest way is to use the midband and I say, okay, I'm at some frequency that's much greater than omega 1, but much less than omega 2. What does this expression evaluate to? Call that thing out. It's very doable, something I think you guys would have no problem with, but it's an extra step, an extra bit of time, rather than just using the inverted zero and writing it directly. Okay? So that's where those become useful, allowing you to just immediately write the transfer function without having to worry about solving what is this term out front. And additionally, I'd solve for something, it'd be AM times some combination of frequencies. But the significance of that is not immediately visible. Whereas here, I can look at this, and I can say an inverted zero and a pole, AM is the midband gain. It's got physical significance as to what my Bode plot's gonna look like. Okay. That's time, so we'll pick up there on Wednesday and begin talking about resonant poles.